This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. Here in Matthew's Gospel is the last of Jesus' parables, and Dr. Wyatt relates the startling image of a judgment based upon our most insignificant actions.
Thank you, Dennis. God's judgment is not something we really want to hear about, but we do need to heed and listen. Sharon reads further in the 25th chapter of Matthew, "And may we indeed be counted as sheep."
When the Son of Man comes in all his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And before him will be assembled all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "O come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I hungered, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then will the righteous answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you ill or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you are cursed into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels."
And thank you, Sharon. Judgment is a biblical subject, more often avoided now from our pulpits. This, however, has not always been the case. Jonathan Edwards made much of his fame in the first Great Awakening revival here in America with his sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." Such a topic seems largely out of favor today. We gravitate to soft words and God's grace, which is perfectly understandable. And of course, such words of grace are true. But as has been truthfully stated, without judgment, without damnation, there is no need for grace. There is a reason why God has purposed redemption for humanity. We need it. But more often, the subject of humanity's destiny is politely avoided. Yet here in Matthew's Gospel, we find in Jesus' teaching an increasing emphasis on God's righteous judgment with parables, the unmerciful servant, the wicked tenants of the vineyard, a guest without a wedding garment, the unfaithful servant, five foolish bridesmaids, and then a fearful servant who hides his talent in the ground. And now Jesus will fully reveal the reason and nature of God's judgment. Our text has often been called a parable, but it reads like a literal description of what will happen on Judgment Day. But there are those so uncomfortable with this presentation that they would reject it. It's too different. In other words, it's not what they want to hear. But as T.W. Manson has stated, this is of such startling originality that it is difficult to credit it to anyone but the Master himself. Here we are presented with a portrayal of the Judgment Day, a day when the Son of Man comes in his glory. But now he comes with all the angels, not just to rule, but to judge in God's place. This is new and distinctive. This is a new vision we have of Jesus. His ministry so far has been one of humbleness and service. Now he portrays himself coming in all majesty and divine power. The Galilean teacher, he who had no place to lay his head, who experienced hunger, thirst, pain, and suffering, who was despised and rejected of men. Now there will be some surprises. The meek, humble servant will come in all his glory. We can make the mistake, as many do, that Jesus is only the lowly shepherd of our hearts, the loving elder brother who has sought us and bought us, both with his blood and loves us dearly. This is all very, very true, but this is not his only place or the only image he will give us. He now comes in all the majestic splendor and power of the heavens and gathers all the nations. The Greek here is not saying that this is a judgment of only Gentile nations. Pantata ethne means simply the whole human race. This is the final judgment. And all humanity, he is telling us, will be separated, just like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The image here is of the Holy Land, where still sheep and goats are herded together in the open ground. But sheep are more highly prized. Goats are far more harsh to the environment. And unlike the white sheep we are used to on our rangeland, the sheep and goats will have similar, mottled and variegated coats. They will look remarkably alike. So when they are brought in for the night from the open hill country, the goats must be separated out, which is not as difficult as it seems, for they naturally will gather with their own. But goats are more susceptible to the cold and must have more shelter. All of this would come to the minds of the disciples as Jesus lays his image before them. There will be a separation, and on the right-hand side, the favored side, the side of honor, are placed those of this man who is now called the King. They will be honored. What is now revealed is in no way an indication, certainly not proof, that we are righteous or saved by our works. Our works are here but seen as the evidence of our salvation. Here is the evidence for that which we will be rewarded or damned. Clearly, as Scripture consistently teaches, we are saved by grace and judged by our works. The works we do are the evidence either that God's grace has been at work in us, or is evidence that we have rejected that gracious work of grace. And now all humanity has been brought before the glorious throne. Only now are the wheat and tares separated, now the sheep and goats divided and parted for eternity. We hear nothing about repentance or faith in Jesus Christ. It is too late for that. Now is the judgment, and it is meted out and based on how we treat others. It is clear that neither the righteous nor the unrighteous have any clue as to the importance of how one treats others. This is all a surprise to them. No great dark evil sins are even mentioned. No great momentous deeds or fantastic good works are mentioned. Only small everyday acts of kindness and mercy, or the avoidance of such acts, are mentioned. It brings to my mind Jesus' own description of his people. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. What is here revealed is the very nature of our Master, and we are bound to imitate that nature. The lies of the sheep, the righteous, are righteous by God's grace. It is the evidence that God's Spirit has been at work in them by the acts they do. And both groups find the perception of the King, the Son of Man, of their behavior far different than their own perceptions of it. They don't see the connection and are amazed, even startled, by his judgment. These small acts are purposely chosen to reveal what is to be our true nature, our true lives as believers. We are to care for one another, extend ourselves to those in genuine need and distress. In our age, it may require exerted effort, even what is called tough love, to do what is right. But I believe as the Spirit indwells the believer, the true need, the call to go to those isolated and vulnerable will be heard. To illustrate this, there is a well-known story of the early Christian and Roman soldier, Martin of Tours, who on one cold winter day was stopped by a beggar asking for alms. Martin, having no money, took off his cloak and cut it in half and gave half to the beggar. That night, Martin had a dream of Jesus wearing one half of a Roman soldier's cloak. And an angel asked Jesus, "Master, why are you but wearing half a cloak?" Jesus answered the angel, "My friend Martin gave it to me." You can imagine Martin's feeling when he awoke. We are to do things to the least, and in so doing, we are doing it for him. And the least, the strangers, those naked, strikes a chord as implying the most destitute, the most unwanted of our world. And believing that is why we in this ministry remain committed to doing all we can for our brothers and sisters in various forgotten corners of this world. Nearly a fourth of our world suffers from the inane policies of despots that cause inadequate food supplies. Nearly a billion people live on less than $200 a year, again because of despots, dictators, and fools who govern, or actually misgovern, so much of the world. It is not the poor, these least among us, it is not their fault, so we always will do all we can for them. But as the sheep keep no mind of what they do, we just do it. It is done in His name, and He regards it as done for Him. And that is why we do it. Now remember, this is not a command, but a revelation that those of God, those redeemed, do this naturally. This is who we are to be. If it is not, then perhaps we need to think deeply about what our relationship to the King is in reality. For now the image Jesus brings is of an extended family, of their inheritance, of what the righteous inherit as a heavenly possession because of the death and atoning work of their Savior. They are, can I say we are, I certainly hope so, are to inherit a kingdom prepared for us from the foundations of the world. He leaves no doubt as to our entering a glorious future. And this, the words implies, has always been the plan of God. He has blessed us with what will bring us all into His kingdom. This is startling and brings us face to face again with the biblical idea of election, of God's eternal foreknowledge, and thus the determining sovereign love of God to choose His own, even before creation. It is always an awesome, mind-bending idea, but it is part of our understanding, and in this He has chosen to love us, cherish and save us. Why? It is His mystery. It is only ours to serve, to reflect His nature, and reveal that our God is at work in and through us. God here has called believers blessed and asked such to come forward. To those on the left, those not in favor, the King tells to depart, greeting them as "you cursed ones." Unlike the righteous, these who are cursed are to go into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Note that particular difference here. The righteous, those forgiven, go into a kingdom prepared expressly for them. They are to inherit what has been held for them from before the foundations of the world. This kingdom exists already and awaits us. But this is not the same with the eternal fire. That had been prepared, we can infer, also since the foundation of the world, prepared not for the cursed, but for the devil and his angels. Clearly this abode for evil was not prepared for mankind, but becomes by default the depository for those who do not believe or serve God. It is not God's desire, surely, that any should be placed there. As I have said many times, that some so choose this end breaks the heart of God. for he would send no one there. That is why he came, to redeem by his atoning death, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And that is our sole calling as Christians, to proclaim the good news to all the world, so that they won't go there. But saddest of all is that many are so wrapped up in their own concerns and indifferent to the suffering, sin, and degradation around them that they ignore, reject, or avoid our Savior to their own detriment. We as humans don't like the image of eternal damnation. Oh, I know. We can look beyond the medieval portrayals of hell and even heaven, but they do exist, as all will one day realize and know. To be cast into outer darkness, to be cursed and denied all that God is, to be separated from all that he gives to our lives is something I, and I pray you, have no desire to even dwell on, let alone experience. When he comes in his glory, let us be counted as sheep. Let us pray. O Lord, let us see you in those around us, that we will seek your will for others, for their well-being, wholeness, and that the blessings of your kingdom be ours, and may we extend it to as many as possible. O Lord, do always guide and direct us to what is the right. Do that which will lift and encourage. In your precious name, amen.
Indeed, what the world needs to hear is the truth, and especially the truth of Jesus Christ. So at this season, we are offering Thomas's most timely book, The Advent of Christ. Here is why we celebrate this singular event, its importance, its authenticity, and so much more. And a copy of The Advent of Christ. They are yours at no charge. We want to thank those of you who have become a part of this ministry, supporting our overseas outreaches, this radio ministry, our many publications, and our music ministry. A gift, large or small, is always appreciated. Please don't forget the Wings of Healing in your Christmas giving. The address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6H4N1. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. We have completed this series on our Lord's words of prophecy and how he uses parables to illustrate this. We are but to endure to the end, doing even the smallest things he asks us to do, all that we may hear, welcome, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's joy as one of the sheep. If you have questions or a request or two or even more, please write. Dennis will give you our addresses following Crystal's wonderful performance of Come All Ye Faithful. And until this time next week, know we are always faithful.
Joy.
As Christmas draws ever closer, we do wish to extend to all a special Merry Christmas and wish that these coming days are filled with joy, laughter, and good feelings toward all. We also want to extend our desire that if you have needs, please do not hesitate to call or write, as we are here for you. So we hope you will contact us with any questions or prayer requests. As always, any CDs of our programs are available if you will but write and ask. And for this entire Advent season, Dr. Wyatt is offering his wonderful and informative study titled The Advent of the Christ. Now here is a defense of the virgin birth, the historicity of the events surrounding our Lord's birth, and an interesting diversion into just when this may actually have occurred. You will want a copy of The Advent of the Christ. It can be yours at no charge. Our address is once more Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry on the internet at thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.